Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. For the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. For the Lord is good. And be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We learned that Psalm 100 together as a congregation in Romania about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And it's kind of stuck with me since then. Wasn't sure if I could quote it this morning or not, but a beautiful song of a psalm of thanksgiving. We're entering the Thanksgiving season now, or we're in the Thanksgiving season, what we call the Thanksgiving season. And I honor our government for designating a special day of thanks. That's commendable, and I think it's pleasing to God that we do that, even though the focus is often not where it should be, could be. The history of our Thanksgiving holiday has a long and sometimes tragic background. Of the 102 pilgrims that came across on the Mayflower back in 1620, the year 1620, they arrived here in about this time of the year, probably. They left in September, and it took 66 days for them to get across. By March, the next spring, only half of them were left. Half of them had died through the winter from disease and starvation. And it was then in the fall of 1621 when they had this, after a successful harvest, they had this harvest festival, which is now considered probably the first Thanksgiving Day in America. Thanks much in a big part to the Indian people who helped them, the local indigenous people who helped them understand how to farm and to raise crops in the new land. Then it was in 1863, at the height of the American Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln declared the last Thursday of November to be the official national holiday of Thanksgiving. And along with his declaration there, he included in his statement this proclamation asking all Americans to ask God to, and I'll give this as a quote, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of the nation. That's the end of the quote. And that was included in the proclamation of making Thanksgiving an official holiday. Over 600,000 men lost their lives in the Civil War. And so there were many widows and orphans during that time. The history of mankind, as well as our own life story, holds a definite tragic element. That's life as we know it. All those that we have known and will know, those who are born into our families, unless the Lord comes before then, are going to pass out of this life and into the next. And so that's why I say all of our life story holds a element of tragedy. For some, it is very fresh. For others, maybe not so, maybe more distant. But the thought is that we do not withhold our thanks until somehow life becomes perfect, but rather that we celebrate the goodness of God, irregardless of life circumstances. God does not initiate tragedy, nor does he always protect us from suffering tragedy. As he proved to the children of Israel in their wilderness journey, and this is what Moses said just before they entered into Canaan. It says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And so, as we journey through the wilderness of this life, maybe God is doing the same for us, so that we also are being proved and prepared for our entrance into the promised land. God has reasons for allowing these things. He doesn't necessarily bring them or prevent us from experiencing them, but they are not random. The giving of thanks is often mentioned in the scripture as not only commendable, but an expected response of God's people. Many of the Jewish feasts in the Old Testament were also festivals, which included times of thanksgiving or expressions of thanksgiving. For instance, the Passover feast, a very solemn feast, yet there was an element of thanksgiving in God's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. And so is, I think, a pattern that we see develop throughout the scriptures. The psalmist David says in Psalms 147, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." What does he mean by that? Not only pleasing to God, but I think it affects or reflects our own person and personality, and makes us maybe pleasant to be around, or at least comfortable to be around when we're people of praise, and there's an element of thanksgiving that comes through in our daily living, in our daily speech. It transforms us, changes us from a negative to a positive when we are a thankful people. You know, it's natural for us to grumble, to murmur, to complain. That's what the children of Israel did in the wilderness, and because of that, they suffered many things, including the bite of the serpent. It came because they were unthankful. And I think if we are unthankful, we also become vulnerable to the bite of the serpent. Going back now to the 100th Psalm, we see here there is an element of joy and gladness that accompanies our thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. So many times our focus is on can't do this, can't do that, why can't I do this, and why can't I do that, and on why can't I have this, and why can't I have that. You know, just like Eve's was there in the garden, there was one rule, and it was one rule too many for her. And Satan was able to take that attitude and cause her downfall. But in serving the Lord, there is that element of joyfulness and gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Is that my testimony? Or do I tend to look too much on the negative side and forget to be thankful for the good things that God gives to us? Going back to the psalmist David, the one who had written those words, the words of Psalms 100, as well as 147, where he says, praise is comely. King David's life also contained an element of tragedy. And you know from reading your Bibles that David's life was not without its stresses, without its abject failures, without tragedy. David faced this often in his life, as we read his life story in the Bible. But his attitude of thanksgiving, I believe, is enhanced and given a greater aura of godliness because he remained thankful in spite of the tragic circumstances and abject failures in his life. And what do we see highlighted in much of David's writing? Is it not what we read here in verse 5, where it says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Is God good? That's what David says. David says, God, the Lord is good. And when we think back over David's life, how he was fleeing under Saul and all the other things that he endured and faced during his lifetime. But he still says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And so we see that often David highlights the mercy of God in his praise, his thanksgiving. And I think we do well to do the same. And so the challenge for us, I think, this morning is, can we serve the Lord with gladness? Can we come before his presence? We have already come before his presence with singing. We were singing songs of thanksgiving and praise. Was our heart in it? And is God glorified? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Because God is sovereign, sometimes we assume he will just defend and protect his children from all adverse circumstances. Because he is God and he can do it. And we expect him to do it. But you know, that was one temptation that Satan brought to Christ. He said to Jesus, he will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And so as we look at the life of Christ, what do we see? We see a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. What was the final conclusion? Christ victorious and Christ glorified. And I think that's a pattern that we can pursue safely as well. You know, the life of the believer, the life of a human being on this earth is laced with tragedy. But what are the defining things that mark us as a child of God? Is it not that in spite of these times of suffering, that there can be victory? And in the final end, when we cross the river, and enter into the promised land, that's when the glory happens. But it can even be before then, foretastes of it. I'm going to conclude here with the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says in 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Is that something that we can believe and accept? All things are for your sakes. what is all things? Does that not also include adversity and the things that come into our life that are painful? I think it does. All things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. The abundance of grace. You know, there we have that again. The glorifying of God's grace, God's mercy, God's provision for us in trial, in tragedy, that through the thanksgiving of many. And as we think of that, Paul was talking here about his adversities. And he says that, you know, he's willing to suffer these things for the sake of his work, for the sake of the Lord and his work. But that abundant grace is what is being magnified, that through this thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. And so we want to be instruments that will bring glory to God. And we do that by victorious living and a life of thankfulness in spite of what comes our way. Shall we kneel in prayer?